Hey everybody, welcome to Cloud Server Tool Show. I'm your host, Scott Klein. With me today, Scott Hunter, Mads Christensen, and you might want to introduce yourself just in case.
My name is Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
He's never been on this show
He's never been on
I'm
the show
I'm a professional dancer by day.
By day.
And by night, I'm a clown. So,
sweet. That's quite the profession.
He's filling in for Corey Sanders, and he's already done a great job. He sounds exactly like Corey Sanders.
This is exactly what Corey Sanders would say.
It does. So, gentlemen, I'm going to take a second to introduce yourself, and then we'll get going, because we have a lot to talk about in the 25 minutes.
So, Scott Hunter, I'm the .NET guy.
All right.
Mads Christensen, Visual Studio web tooling guy.
Awesome. So let's begin. Scott, we'll begin with you. Was there more? Oh, Seth. Well, Seth already introduced himself.
Go ahead, Seth. I do TV stuffs sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a channel line guy. That's what I do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ignore you.
No, I know. It's okay.
That was impressive.
I'm at home and all my kids are around.
Who's dad?
Yeah.
All right. So, Scott, let's begin with you. Quite a bit announced around .NET, Visual Studio today. What did we learn this week? What kind of came out?
So we did a bunch of stuff. First off, if you're a .NET developer, we talked about new C# features that are coming as part of the Dev 15 preview. And some of those I showed were tuples.
Yep.
And tuples is a really cool feature for C# where you can actually return more than one return value.
Yeah.
Typically in most languages you can only return one value. So what developers will do is they'll create a struct or a class to go put a couple of values in so they can return more than one value. Now you can actually return, you just write parentheses and say ABC, and you can return multiple values, which was a pretty cool feature that we showed as part of C# 7. If you're a C# developer, who's done string.format and done like 0, 1, 2, 3, and then like counted your parameters at the end to see what order they're in? Now you can just put a dollar sign in front of the string, and you just put the variables inside of the braces. Instead of putting the 0, 1, 2, 3, just put the actual values directly in there.
It's like you're trying to make it easy for developers.
Thank you.
Imagine that.
So
a bunch of C# features were announced this week. Some of those are in the preview.
All right.
We showed yesterday that we have F# support for .NET Core.
Okay.
So if you're an F# developer, now you can go grab the .NET Core bits and build .NET Core applications with F#. So that's on the language front, that's kind of the stuff we showed. We showed some other cool stuff. If you're a developer, one of the features that we got from Roslyn is the compiler that compiles your C# and your VB .NET applications. It has a feature called analyzers, and analyzers are kind of how it can go and figure out if your code's good or bad, or if it squiggles something or not. And so part of the team took a bunch of the old FXCOP rules and ported them to analyzers.
Really?
And so now these are per project. You can actually NuGet these things into your project. You get a new analyzers node under the references node, and you get the system will squiggle anything that's a bad practice. Now what's better than FXCOP, it doesn't just squiggle things. If you actually want to, there's a little light bulb there. You can click it, and when you click it, it will actually drop down and show you the change it will make to your code, and it will actually fix the code for you.
Really?
So we have a couple of these that are shipping today.
Okay.
But we plan to do about 80 to 100 of these, just taking the FXCOP rules that still make sense.
Yeah.
There's some that don't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
The ones that still make sense, and bring them over. But they're NuGet packages now, and just getting part of your typical developer flow. And so I thought that was a pretty cool thing. By the way, customers can write their own analyzers as well. So the ASP.NET team is looking at writing analyzers for some of the common ASP.NET bugs that people do. And that's one of the things we'll ask teams to do is go write analyzers for your project types to try to put people inside the rails as much as you can.
There are some great ones out there. There's some that even comes in like a Visual Studio extension, so you can ship them like that.
Yeah.
And NuGet packages, they can be either extension or NuGet packages. And there are some that are really specific, which is really cool. Like sometimes you have a code style that is very specific to your team, and you can actually enforce those rules.
You should talk about code style, because I know you've been working with the .NET team on making the code style feature bigger and broader and better.
Right.
I think the code style thing, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so this is something that we keep hearing about from customers, is that especially in a team scenario, you want to have some sort of coding standards, right? Should the curly braces be on new lines or indentation spaces versus tabs and so on? So there's a lot of formatting. And so we keep hearing like, it would be nice if when we do code reviews that we don't have to spend time dealing with formatting, but we can just get to the matter of the code. Right?
Yeah, right.
And so
the review, yeah.
Right. So it would be really nice if, like, when you format the document or if you paste code in to a C# file, that it formatted based on the rules that you as a team has decided was the rules to do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
And so those rules will then follow the project. Right. So that's that, and that is paramount because you can have multiple projects that have different sets
rules.
Of rules.
Yep.
And so this is very important. So that's so, really, really exciting stuff that's coming for the managed language.
So I could be working on several projects, but this one wants it formatted this way, and this one wants it formatted this way, and so it follows the project.
You could have one solution that has multiple projects, different teams submit to that, so the different teams might have their own styles.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's where that scenario kind of makes sense is when you have...
This is a way to fetter out the guy that puts the curly brace on the same line. You got to get him out, you know, make the style rules, just finally be like, no, dude. That's not right.
You're not
next line.
Yeah.
Next
you line. Are not a fit for this team.
You're a VB guy.
Next line. Okay?
Semicolon and semicolon. Nice. That's awesome.
So it's really cool. And sometimes it's you can have a project that maybe you have, you know, that's an internal project that has one set of rules, and then you have one that might be open source on GitHub or, you know, and you want to apply other rules.
Yep.
And this just works. So
that's
really, really
awesome.
Cool. And there's a UI in Visual Studio to say what rules you want and should some of them like you don't have to like do that in a like in a file you have to create and put some. It's like very nicely packaged in UI and it's really smooth. So very excited for that for the managed languages. I think they're working on C++ as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're just adding sort of the equivalent of that for the web languages. So for JavaScript, they have linters out there, and so the sort of the newest and the best one is called ESLint. And so we're now supporting that for JavaScript, JSX files. And it will allow you to, it's actually a combination between FXCop and StyleCop.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Analyzes and code style sort of in one tool.
Okay.
And it's the exact same thing. It follows the project. You can say, here's my global rules as a user. When I create a new project, I just want those rules. Or if you take, you can take that and say, okay, I want to tweak that just for this project or for this solution or for this subfolder in my project. And then those rules will apply there.
Right,
so that's very, very
that's
cool.
That's very cool.
And so ESLint is coming for the JavaScript and JSX editors.
Yep.
We have TSLint coming for TypeScript. And we have CoffeeLint for CoffeeScript and CSSLint for CSS. And these tools are industry standard tools running in Node.js. And so, but don't worry, you don't have to have Node.js inside your, let's say, ASP.NET project for this to work. It's sort of all hidden behind the scenes.
Gotcha.
It's coming with Visual Studio, and you don't have to install Node. It just lights up.
That's a great point about the tooling all up that we're trying to do is, historically, we actually had our own customized minifiers and our own customized things that would do this kind of work.
Right.
And now we're just taking the open tools that are out there on the market, stick them into Visual Studio, so we're not reinventing the world.
Right, okay.
Right. And it is the same tools that people use sort of out in the...
Let me ask a hard question. If when the linters and stuff run, do the problems it find in there show up as warnings or errors in my error list inside of Visual Studio, or do they show up as squiggles in my application?
Yeah, they show up in the error list. So whenever it finds something, it will show in the error list, and it will say, hey, here's the rule. It will give you the name of the rule that broke. So let's say ESLint has a rule that says you need semicolons. So the rule called semi will show up, and you can even click the rule name, and it will open the browser to the definition of that rule, so you can see exactly why it's there, what it does, but also how to configure it. So you can configure that rule to be either a warning or a message or an error, and so you can decide the severity of each of these things for all these different linters, and the same goes for the code style for the managed language.
It'd be interesting if you could make that map to the way the analyzers work, so we put it in the same references node, the same kind of way, so they look very similar across both web and managed languages, and then non-managed languages.
The goal is that as a Visual Studio user, it's the exact same look and feel to how to use any of these, whether it's C#, whether it's JavaScript. The code style linters are all very similar, even though they're a completely different technology under the hood. As a user, we don't have to care about that.
Well, I love the fact it's those technologies under the hood. I love it. If I ran that thing manually, the Node.js thing manually, I'm just going to need an output of line numbers and stuff like that, right?
Right. So if you ran it manually, it's the exact same errors you're going to get. Like if you run these tools through, if you have your own Gulp setup or any of these Node.js based build tools that would run any of these analyzers, you would get console output that would be maybe not easy to read or difficult to parse. We parse it for you and put it in the error list. So you don't have to look at the console output. It comes into Visual Studio as you would expect from Visual Studio, but it is the console output that we're sort of scraping.
Okay.
You just don't see that.
Right.
But if you were to go to the console, it would be the same error showing up.
Yeah, but
super cool.
And you mentioned configure. How configurable are these?
Very. So they're basically a JSON file
yep.
that describes this. And if you take one of these JSON files, copy it into your project,
yeah.
then everything under that file path will adhere to that version of the or that settings file.
Okay.
And each of them has severity. You can say, is it a warning? Is it an yep. error? You can even sometimes specify settings for each rule as well, depending on what type of linter it is. So it really is very, very granular. And you can even extend this. So you can say, I want custom rules as well. And that will also just light up in Visual Studio. So because it's just, in this case, it's just Node. So it's JavaScript, it's dynamic by nature. It kind of just works.
What does this mean for the development community? Because it's like all these open source. What is this doing for not just .NET developers, but for all the developers out there, right?
I think it's really good because it gives you the ability to jump in where you're most comfortable. So for instance, if you are happy sitting on a Mac in Sublime yeah. Text, right, with a console and a browser, and that's your dev box, that's your setup,
yep.
and everything you do, all your build tools all run, let's say Node.js tools, and you have a terminal window or two, and you run all your commands yep. in there, that's fine. If you're in Visual Studio and you would like Visual Studio to handle those things for you
mm-hmm.
and present it in a way that's sort of natural to the Visual Studio interface, like arrow lists, squigglies, right-click menus, keyboard shortcuts, those sort of things, then you can have Visual Studio take over sort of the entire console dance.
Yeah.
Right? But Visual Studio basically just wraps that. So it will just call the console the same way you would when you type gulp build.
Yep.
Visual Studio does the exact same thing, but it does it for you.
Right.
Right. So at any point, you can jump in between. So where you have on one side, you have Visual Studio doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you have, I just want my console.
Yeah.
At any point in time, you can jump in and say, I want Visual Studio to do some of it, but I'm happy with my console for other things. And so
you
decide.
Get very granular.
It's a slider.
Yeah.
Right? You yeah. decide where you want to go.
Within that spectrum, yeah.
Right. So that's it's a cool. good way for people to kind of come in and see, if they're happy with the console, to come in and see, okay, it's actually really a great experience not having to worry about these things and have it light up yeah. anyway. So that's one path. The other one is, I'm more comfortable having Visual Studio kind of help me out while I learn these tools, and then I can go to the console later on if I find that useful.
Yeah, is this a good point? Is this to sort of help people drive them to Visual Studio going, hey, if Visual Studio does this for me,
mm-hmm.
we're sort of help driving people toward that environment, right? That's very cool. All right. So, and you cover web, you know, from a web perspective and extensibility perspective, what are we seeing out there? And what did we talk about this week? Beyond the whole
Visual Studio Update 2, right? Visual
yeah.
Studio 2015 Update 2 came out. So that's a great release. So questions have come up, and I think we should probably address. People have been asking, why don't we see a lot of new web tools in Update 2? And that is because
Matt,
he's looking at me actually.
Scott, can you take that one?
It's for a very, very good reason, right? The ASP.NET Core needs tooling in Visual Studio, and they're developed side by side. So every day a new version of the ASP.NET Core runtime is created, and tooling is then following along. And so it's a very tight development cycle this time around. They're running in parallel,
yep.
right? And so we can't ship the web tooling before we can ship the ASP.NET tooling. They're tightly bound together. So when ASP.NET Core RC2 comes out at some point.
We're expecting it to be this month. So it's the month of April. Today's April 1st. So the hope is that this month we will ship an RC2, and that's when the new wave of web tooling will come with it as well.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. So when you get it's called ASP.NET web tooling or something. You install that, and then you get a lot of tooling, a lot for ASP.NET, like Tag Helper, Eraser support, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get a lot more as well, including all the linters that we just talked about. Yeah.
So we'll have to.
In years past, the web tooling and the ASP.NET team were not actually bolted together.
Yeah.
And that was not a good combination.
Right.
And so even now, the web tooling is suffering a little bit because it's waiting for ASP.NET to figure its stuff out. The reality is putting the web frameworks and the web tooling together is, I think, one of the biggest benefits of Visual Studio and ASP.NET, and this, you know, having these things together, having Mads on the team with us, the tools would not be the same if they were separate.
So it makes perfect sense, and you know, the goal is that this is going to align at some point,
right?
So when Visual Studio, ASP.NET Core 1.0 comes out in RTW or RTM, like at some point after that, the Visual Studio update, everything is then hopefully aligning,
yeah.
and we're back to following the Visual Studio update schedule together, like as one thing. But now we're sort of
we showed some other pretty crazy .NET stuff yesterday as well, which was we're trying to work on what we call the inner loop. And for people to know what inner loop means, inner loop is if you're a web developer, it's like, okay, I'm going to go change some source code, I'm going to compile my application, I'm going to F5 my application, the browser's going to load up, and I see something. All the actions you take as part of that loop are what we call the inner loop. And that's that's an area that we, as a productivity team, want to speed up and make better in Visual Studio.
It takes time to, change, hit F5, wait for the browser,
But it could be a variety of things. So inner loop things that we're doing is, let's say you reference JSON.NET. You just write JToken in your code. Today you'll get a squiggle, we don't know that's there and where it comes from. In this new world, now we actually can put a light bulb next to that saying, hey, there's a NuGet package for that. If you click here, we'll install the NuGet package, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We announced yesterday as well that we plan to look at indexing the top 100 NuGet packages that are most used. And by indexing, what I mean is, not only can I just bring that package in with the light bulb, that'll work for every NuGet package, but we showed this yesterday. I then put my cursor on the JToken and I pressed F12, which in Visual Studio means jump to the source code. And even though I didn't have the JSON.NET source code on my machine, we went out to GitHub, found the source code, pulled it down on the machine, poof, it shows up in Visual Studio.
Man. In less than a second.
Just like that.
Satya in his keynote talked about, intelligence, right? But he was talking in terms of the IoT space. But it seems that we're from a, and Seth's got a, I know we'll get to Seth, he's got a comment. But it seems to me that we're trying to take this, which I think is a good thing, making everything more intelligent. And things like this make our tools and technologies more intelligent, right? If I don't know, hey, let me go out, because I know there's a package that matches what I'm typing. Is that kind of where we're driving to?
Just productivity to me. It's just make the developer's job easier. I don't have to go jump and search for Google or Bing and find something on GitHub and then find the source code and then copy it to my folder. By the way, the demo was cooler than that because after I F12 the source code in, I then put a breakpoint in the source code on GitHub and ran my application and the breakpoint fired.
In GitHub?
Well, it fired on the machine.
Mic dropped.
Thank you very much.
Google knows all about the mic drop today.
Whoops.
We showed that, which was a pretty cool feature. I'll let you get to Seth.
That's cool.
I will tell you that to me there was a lot of exciting things.
Yeah.
And you went into intelligence. I think Satya, look, there's these like doomsayers, and I'm bringing up my nose here because I had some. There's these doomsayers that talk about AI is going to kill us all and Terminators are going to start shooting us.
Yeah, right.
But and we hear this a lot, but I loved how Satya went up there and said, it's more about computers with humans, not computers
against humans,
yeah. Right? And so there was tons of cool stuff, for example, the cognitive APIs, the bot frameworks, the conversation as a platform, that to me were very interesting regarding how we can actually interact with computers in a more natural way instead of forcing the mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool for me. I don't know about you
Microsoft
guys.
Is not trying to start Terminator, right?
No.
That's not what we're trying to do, right? But I agree with you, right? There's a lot of things that, from the intelligence side, right?
Yeah. The coolest thing is, for example, the bot framework. There is literally now a bot framework. You can go to docs.botframework.com, and you can see how to build a bot. These things are then indexed on Bing. And so if you're like, hey, I want a pizza, on the search, it'd be like, hey, Pizza Hut has a bot. You can click on a button. I don't know if they have that one now, but this functionality is there. You can click on a button that says chat. A chat opens up, and you're like, hey, Pizza Hut, I want a pizza, and I want it here. And Bing knows where you are, right? It knows the closest Pizza Hut. The bot knows the closest Pizza Hut. And now you can sort of make these really cool interactions with computers that you wouldn't have otherwise.
We didn't show bots, but in some of the VS demos, we showed a demo where you can press Control-Shift-F1, and a Bing search comes up, and Bing knows, because it's in Visual Studio, it knows the context of where your code is, so it knows I'm in C#. And I said, how do I convert from XML to JSON? And it goes out and actually found the actual example on the Newtonsoft website on how to do that.
Wow.
And the code's there. I press a button, it copies the clipboard, and it pastes right in. So that's not, it's not bot, and but it's still the same kind of, it's intelligent being that's contextual based on where I am in the product.
But what you really want with intelligence or intelligence is maybe the next step. So if I start writing like XML file, you know, XML document equals new XML document, blah, 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 and JSON, and I start doing JSON, like what if Visual Studio would then know, oh, I think I have an idea that you're trying to convert XML to JSON.
Yeah.
Let me just offer that in advance. So basically, can the IDE be a step ahead?
Yes.
So that's sort of what that NuGet thing that Scott was mentioning was. Here's a type that we can't resolve. I bet you that the next step that the user is going to try is to see whether he can find it on NuGet. Let's just offer that right there in the light bulb because that's probably your next step. So it's sort of this concept of the thinking IDE, right? Can we be one step ahead and predict?
By the way, it offered other choices as well. It offered you just want to create the type.
Right.
So it's not just saying only NuGet. It's actually giving you, here's five or six choices of what we think you might want to do.
Right.
And NuGet was one of them, which is still awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the whole productivity intelligent. Yeah, can we stay a step ahead of the developer?
Yeah.
Right? And to make you more productive and make
without being in the way. And
without being the big brother.
Having Clippy coming up and say, do you want to, can I help you today?
No, Microsoft Bob.
Jeez, that's where he went. look, smart things in software could be as... Like, this is the basic smart, cognitive, smart AI.
Right.
You go and you right-click on something, and the light bulb remembers what you did last time, and so it puts it at the top.
Sure. Right.
That's the beginning of a smart thing.
Right.
Right? And then it gets more complicated as we go down when it says, don't know what to do, having trouble with this. Then you go and search Bing, right, using their APIs that says, oh, you're in Visual Studio looking at code that has these types. Let me go look on Stack Overflow for you. That's like the other extreme, right? You see what I'm saying? And so building smart things has nothing to do with, I got to use machine learning. It could literally be, how often did they click on that? Let's make that the first option.
Oh, there's a, we understand there is a spectrum of intelligence,
sure.
Right? It's how, you know, how do we make the developer more productive, right? What we can do to make him or her, you know, write less code or, you know, be able to write code more efficiently. Right, that's what it's about.
Or do things that the user didn't know necessarily
was
a good thing to do.
Yes.
Right, let me give you an example. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if when I write an ASP.NET website, that Visual Studio would let me know, oh, you're doing things that are not good for SEO right now. Let me fix that for you. Or you're doing things that is not accessible, your contrast from text to background is not high enough, or something like that,
right.
And then you can fix it. You didn't necessarily know that those were something you might want to care about. But if Visual Studio can offer that information
right there, then
you actually build higher quality software and you kind of let Visual Studio do the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Yep. Awesome. All right, so we got 10 seconds, but let's take 12 seconds plus another 60.
Yeah.
let me give each of you, like, what was your takeaway from Build? I mean, what was your big one item that, hey, this is the awesome thing from Build?
.NET is awesome because now we have Xamarin, and we can build iOS and Android apps on .NET.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Xamarin. Maybe we'll do that on our next show.
HoloLens, I wanted on a flight so I can, you know, be in my own little world, watch my movies, and have, like, an interactive map so I can see what's... You know, what I'm flying over and then see the cities and landscapes
and stuff. We were standing, we were in the hub and right before it opened, and they opened the doors and it was like a herd. I mean, literally the floor shook as people ran back to the, that was awesome. But I agree with you, that'd be awesome. Seth?
All about intelligence. Our software needs to be smarter so that we can be smarter as people.
Ooh. I think that's a good idea.
He's Terminator.
I am a robot. This is a robot. I'm hooked into the Matrix right now.
Ying, Yang, and a Bang. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you. So everybody watching Ying, Yang, and a Bang, Cloud Server Tools every Tuesday. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching.